Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the Master Your Health Podcast. I'm Christopher Rocchio, and I'm with my co-host, Amanda Rocchio.
Yes, I'm your beautiful wife. You got my last name right this time.
I did. I've messed it up so many times. With friends, I keep calling you my fiance or my girlfriend. I messed up on that a couple times, and I keep calling you Meixner for some reason.
It's your last name, babe. You got to remember it.
I know, absolutely.
The love is still there. The love is still there.
Yeah, these little things are irrelevant, so...
Before we get into today's episode, I wanted to read a 5-star review written by Lean on a Bed, titled Real and Realistic. Amanda and Chris are real and realistic. They're honest about their opinions, research, and the way they live, and are realistic in terms of offering advice and how to live a healthier lifestyle that people can stick to. Listening to them isn't like listening to someone try to preach or force any one diet on you. It's well-rounded, well-informed, and fun. It's the perfect in-depth supplement to following Amanda on Instagram. Thank you so much for that review. And if you guys have a minute, if you could go ahead and leave us a quick review on Apple Podcasts, that would mean so much to Chris and I.
Yeah, definitely.
Getting into today's episode, we wanted to chat about all the health benefits of walking and why being so sedentary has kind of created an unhealthy lifestyle, especially in the U.S. I know the U.S. is kind of known for not walking as much as maybe some of the European countries. And this is kind of a point that hits home for Chris and I, because we are such gym rats, but we weren't really into the like benefits of walking. It was either doing HIIT or sitting on the couch or at our desk doing research. We weren't really all about walking, you know, to go out to eat or even just taking a short little break in the middle of the day. That really helps break up all the work you're doing. So that's why we wanted to remind ourselves that walking alone can be so beneficial.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we make the mistake that just because we work out for an hour and a half in a day, that we think that that is the end all of our physical activity for the day. But we should be moving around a little bit every hour and keep that constant. It's not like just putting in that hour of intense exercise. You're at the level of 10 in terms of physical exertion, and then the rest of the day you're at a 1 or a 0.5, you know. And so yeah, that's the whole thing, is it's kind of like maintaining some movement, setting alarms or whatever things you need to do to just remind yourself to get up and walk around, and just for a little bit, just for 5-10 minutes, and then come back and work for the next 55 minutes if you're one of those workaholics.
And if you're not into working out yet, or you can't really make it to the gym, walking is a great place to start. You know, walking for 30 minutes every day or a couple times a week, because, you know, you can just literally walk out your front door. You don't have to pay a gym membership. So this is why I encourage everyone to incorporate some more walking into their life.
Well, I mean, you and I were by no means lazy physically, but, you know, we do get in our habits. And even sometimes when I know that the food that I want to eat is right down the street, it's like a mile walk, and you can easily walk down there in a reasonable amount of time, and you end up driving just for the convenience of things. Like, it's just so much easier to just take your time, not always feel like you're in a rush. After you're done with a nice walk, like say you walk to dinner and walk back, that walking afterwards, you know, helps move things along. It's like you don't just go sit on the couch and let it marinate in your stomach. I really like the feeling after I do a post-dinner walk, especially if it's a big meal.
Yeah, we've been better about that. I mean, also something as simple as if you have a phone call or a meeting call, taking that call and going for a walk while you're taking that phone call, so you can multitask getting your steps in and getting some work done.
I like that idea, because even it doesn't matter what kind of conversation I'm in. I can be talking to my cousin who's like my best friend in the world, and I've known him my entire life. I still pace the apartment when I'm talking to him, because that's just how I am. So I might as well just take my phone and go for a walk and be in the sun and all that kind of stuff. So it's really just effortless as long as you just allocate some time to it, right?
Absolutely. So I wanted to get into some of the research behind, you know, the health benefits of walking. But before we get into that research, I did want to emphasize, you know, how much of a health issue we have today in America. Mm-hmm. And that's with the prevalence of obesity at about 40%, affecting almost 93 million adults in the U.S. That's a crazy stat. I can't even believe it's that high.
Yeah, I have to reread that every time. And when I try to tell people about this who don't know anything about these stats, it's almost unbelievable. You don't really believe that 40% level. I mean, maybe saying overweight, but this is actually saying that 40% is obese.
And the reason why obesity is such a problem is it's really related to a lot of these conditions, including heart disease, stroke, type 2 diabetes, and other certain types of cancer. So we really want to help, you know, get the body in a balanced state, get to a healthier way. And one of the ways you can do that is by supporting your lifestyle with walking. Everyone, almost everyone, should be able to walk. It's accessible by just going out your front door. So there was a 2012 meta-analysis with 18 different studies and included over 790,000 participants. And about 15 of these studies were moderate to high quality. And it linked an increase in sedentary time to an increased risk of diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and all-cause mortality. Again, emphasizing that being more sedentary is linked to all of a host of health issues. I mean, it makes sense, right, Chris?
Absolutely. I mean, I also think that, you know, these studies are done in adults, so we always see them in those terms, but we also got to catch it before it gets too late. So for instance, like you got 18.5% of the child population, children and adolescents, that are obese as well. And, you know, I mean, obviously some, you know, let's get this out of the way. Obviously some of these are genetic based disorders, or there's physical problems like such as, you know, thyroid issues and things like that. But for the most part, it's a caloric diet issue. And so, and lack of activity. Right. And so, you gotta nip this at the bud as soon as you start seeing it. So, you know, if you have a child or adolescent kid, you don't feel bad about pushing them towards a regimen that's going to set a precedent, set a lifestyle, a habit that will carry on into adulthood that will preserve their health.
And the key here is really not focusing on anyone's weight. Obviously, we're using that as statistically because it's linked to health issues, but not focusing on weight, but more so what are the healthy habits to support you getting onto a healthy lifestyle. And that's why we're talking about walking today, because this is a great healthy habit to make sure this is part of your daily routine.
Right. It should be the bare minimum, honestly.
Absolutely. So let's get into the first positive study on one of the benefits of walking. And I thought this one was fun because it was talking about how walking's been shown to boost creativity. This is kind of help when you're kind of in a slump at work. A 2014 study published in the Journal of Experimental Psychology showed walking to boost creativity in a handful of different experiments. So what they used in this study was Guilford Alternative Uses Test, which is a test that asks you to come up with as many uses as possible for a simple object like a brick or a shoe or a paperclip. I don't know. This sounds like a fun test. I kind of want to just do this for fun. So one experiment compared the GAU test scores with participants who completed the test when seated and then when walking, and then when walking and then seated, or when seated twice. And both of the walking experiments, users had a higher test score. So really, it was the connection of walking, whether you're seated and then walking, or walking and then you take a seat, to have a higher creative score overall. So this showed that you can still get a continued creative boost even after you're finished walking, right? So you don't have to be taking
in the process. Yeah. You don't have to be brainstorming while you're walking and writing things down, you know?
Yeah. So really just going for that short little walk, coming back to your desk, and then completing that task that maybe you were stuck on, or, you know, the new ideas you're trying to come up with for your boss. Mm-hmm. Let's all get some outdoor walking in.
Yeah. And another added benefit that I didn't think of until now, and it's not really tied to what we're talking about, but it's a huge issue in this country, and that's lack of vitamin D from sun. And getting outside and having that be a practice is kind of a twofer, because you get more sun exposure, and you can, you know, the more sun exposure you have directly to your skin, the more your body can create vitamin D. And there's a large portion of people that are deficient in vitamin D. And here's a little, another additional fact is that the darker your skin is, the harder it is for your body to synthesize vitamin D from the sun. So you actually need more exposure. So keep that in mind. And that's just another reason to get outside and do some walking. I know you don't have to be outside and walk. You can walk around your apartment, walk around your office building, whatever you need. But ideally, if it's not too cold or frigid or raining, get out and get some sun.
Plus, if you get, you know, if there's some nature around, or even I know there's not a lot of nature where we live in Los Angeles, but just seeing the trees and getting that fresh air outside is, I don't know, just opens up your brain in a new creative way.
Yeah, that relative fresh air in LA, depending on where you're at.
So let's get into the next study, Chris, if you want to go through the meta-analysis.
All right. So this 2009 meta-analysis of 11 prospective cohort studies and one randomized control trial study found that walking 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, to be associated with a 19% lower risk of coronary heart disease.
Just another example of how walking is linked to obviously having less health issues overall. And I thought it was like a good number to aim for, 30 minutes a day. Totally practical, but, you know, obviously 5 to 10 minutes is still better than nothing, but just cool to kind of see that in this study that it was about 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, that they kind of speculated to have the biggest impact.
Yeah, and I just wanted to add that you can't control for all of the variables. So these people that are walking for 30 minutes a day and everything like that and it being associated with that lower risk of coronary heart disease, there could be a healthy user bias with that, with these people that are walking are actually have a proclivity to a much healthier lifestyle. You can't really identify for all these studies, so keep that in mind or whatever, but it's still a great little hint or motivation to include that into your lifestyle, right?
I just think of that song, Now Walk It Out. Now Walk It Out. I'm definitely going to add that.
That's where you went. I'm over here. I'm trying to provide some nuance and you're like dancing in your head.
Hey, anything to get us walking more, I think is a win in my book, whether it's a correlation study or not. So another 2013 meta-analysis looked into the research to analyze the connection between exercise walking to help relieve knee pain. So here's the deal. It's actually important to build up the muscles surrounding the joints, mm-hmm. So around the knee joints. So I feel like there's always this assumption that, you know, not putting any weight on your legs, like that's going to prevent knee pain. Like, no, you really need to have strong legs, whether that's strength lifting, walking can also support that. So I thought it was interesting to see in this meta-analysis that several studies found walking and exercise to help relieve some of the arthritis pain.
Right. And also, I mean, if you want to, you know, obviously everybody wants to get more movement and activity in their lives or whatever, but let's just say you do have joint pain and you can't get out and run or whatever, incline walking, just walking up a slight incline on a hill, or say if you'd put an incline on a treadmill, that is extremely beneficial for you. And not only that, but marathon runners have actually used that to train for marathons, but also to reduce the impact and the stress on their body. So instead of always running the half marathon or the quarter marathon to train for it, some brisk uphill walking at a decent pace can substitute for that.
I love that. I mean, walking in general is obviously lower impact than running. And then also, you know, depending on, you know, your situation, you could go walk on the beach, walking on the sand, mm-hmm. like the soft sand. That's really hard.
Yes, therapeutic.
Walking, you know, in a park, if that's a better fit for you, you have a park nearby, then you don't have to walk so much on the concrete. I also found asphalt to be a little more forgiving than concrete in general. So mm-hmm. if you have a bike lane and, you know, obviously cognizant of not getting in the way of bikers, especially some of the serious bikers. But again, just many different options to get out there and walk a little bit more.
Right. So it's clear that exercise in general helps us maintain a healthy weight. And we've already discussed the part of that is genetic. And we should really do a podcast on epigenetics and gene expressions now that I think about it.
Totally.
But anyways, to support this, Harvard researchers in one study looked at 32 obesity promoting genes in over 12,000 people and found that those who walked briskly for about an hour a day cut the effects of those weight promoting genes in half.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah. I really wonder the mechanism behind that. I didn't really look into that so much, but it's definitely an interesting study to cite. And again, just encouraging us to walk more.
Yeah.
I mean, going down the list, basically, we're just
giving you bullet points of just one reason after another. And if you're already convinced, you can turn off the podcast now. But
no, don't do that yet. Yeah. But I wanted to get into another 2017 study published in Physiology and Behavior showed that low to moderate intensity stair exercise to boost energy more than a low dose of caffeine in young sleep deprived women. I thought this one was really interesting because I always turn to green tea, or I also have this caffeine gum that sometimes I used, and to see that just walking up the stairs at a low to medium pace was able to boost energy more than low dose caffeine. I was like, I should try that a little bit more. Obviously, this was on stair walking in particular, but I'm sure if you could get yourself on some hills in your neighborhood, you could also, gain the same effects as these women did in this study. Again, it was a small sample size, but a good initial test.
Yeah, and I'm sure it had to do with the heart rate and the duration of that increased heart rate more than the actual activity that they were doing.
Yes, you know, if you kind of, when you're walking, if you could get your heart rate up a little, do a little brisk walking, do a little bit of the hill or incline treadmill walking, again, that would prove to have some benefits in addition to something that's more of a super slow pace.
Mm-hmm. All right, so another study looking at 1,000 adults linked those who walked at least at a moderate pace for 30 to 45 minutes a day had 43% fewer sick days and upper respiratory infections overall.
Again, this was a correlation study, but I thought it was more proof that walking is correlated with having less illnesses, you know, less frequently of getting sick. So many continued benefits over and over again.
Yeah, and this study is not age dependent. It looked at over 1,000 adults ranging from 18 to 85 years old. So, and 60% female or 40% male. So you have no excuse if you're old.
Get out there. I mean, doesn't your grandmother like walk a lot? She's very
She walks like 2 miles a day. She holds weights. She does. I mean, she's insane.
She's very vibrant.
Absolutely.
A vibrant grandmother.
Absolutely.
I can't wait to see her over the holidays. Maybe I should go walking with her.
You should. She would love it.
Aw, that's sweet. Okay, getting into the last study I have on the list, which goes back to Chris's comment about enjoying walking after meals. So a 2013 study found that a 15-minute walk after each meal to be effective at improving blood sugar levels. So usually when you eat a bigger meal, your blood sugar level spikes. And, you know, after eating a big meal and then sitting down, you're not really using that spiked blood sugar level to do anything. So walking 15 minutes after you eat, again, in this study showed improvements. The sampling was small, but it was another good initial study to suggest that walking post-eating could have other benefits besides just obviously the added benefit of moving more, but also, again, with improving insulin levels overall. What do you think, Chris?
That's interesting. I wish they would do some more studies on this because that would be extremely crucial for insulin-resistant people.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't that one of your friend's rules recently? He lost a lot of weight, and one of the changes he made was to go walking after dinner every
night.
Yeah,
absolutely. He lost like 50 pounds of fat just dropping bread, and he started walking after his meals. And so what he really liked is that, you know, like you were talking about, it allowed him to feel like he was moving, you know, moving around and getting his metabolism or keeping his metabolism up. It's, at least it was a placebo effect for him, you know?
Right.
And, but also as an additional benefit, it allows his daughters to burn off some of that excess energy after dinner. And so they can go right to bed afterwards. So it's,
oh, I see. It's like
twofer.
A double win.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I love that. No, I remember because we went out to dinner at his place and he was very much like, every night, like my family goes for a walk after dinner and you guys are here. So we're doing it tonight. Mm-hmm. I think it started raining. So we got out of it. Usually he walks like 2 miles. He walks pretty far.
Yeah.
Like 2 miles.
He walked more than I wanted to walk that night.
Oh, I know. I remember. And it was less than he wanted to. I think normally he walks like a couple miles or 2 miles and we walked like half a mile each way.
Yeah.
You and I were like, okay, this is.
Yeah. He was just as serious about that routine as you are with your morning routine. So,
yes. Yeah. Yes. But I like it. I liked it. And it was, again, just another reminder of how to like interweave walking into your life, how to make that a habit. So I think it really goes back to finding the time of day that works for you or whether you need that as a work break or if you take a lot of calls, you know, take some of those calls while you're walking or, you know, if you go to weekly dinners with your husband like we do, you know, go walk. Don't drive down the street.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also like, I mean, you know, jump roping, just moving in general. You don't necessarily have to walk down the street. You can go out in your backyard, do some jump roping or whatever, but just getting some movement, getting your heart rate up a little bit will go a long way.
Well, actually, what I mean, if people want to do this, Chris actually built like a ladder in the hall out of tape.
Oh, the agility ladders that you do for like soccer and football training and stuff like that. So I just taped one out in my hallway. And anytime I need a break from work, but I don't want to completely get out of my mode, I'll just do a few passes and get my heart rate up and, you know, work on some of that speed and agility. And
whenever someone comes over, they're like, what is this tape in the hallway? And I'm like, here, let me show you.
They feel compelled to do one of the drills, every single, at least the ones that are athletic.
But I know. I mean, I need to do it more often. I feel like the only time I do it is when people ask me, what is this? And I'm like, this is like Chris does.
Yeah, you have your one or two that you're really good at, but you don't like stepping out of your comfort zone.
That's true. You have like an array of different drills that you do.
You got to always push it. Push the barrier.
I got to learn from Chris. Well, thank you so much for listening to this shorter episode. I hope you found all the studies helpful. And I know this is the first time we're ever doing this. So if you have any feedback or you want to send me any DMs on Instagram, you know, I'm assuming you came from my Instagram, but if not, I'm at MeowMix, MeowMix. We'd love to hear how we could improve this format. And actually, Chris put together a ton of research on the sauna. So we're going to talk about that on another episode. But I thought today was a fun episode.
Yeah, these are great. I like these little blitz podcasts. And if you like them too, please let us know. And we'll keep them coming in between the longer, more drawn out guest podcasts. And make sure that you reference the show notes, because we'll have the studies and everything like that in there. And we can't wait to see you in the next one.
We'll catch you on the flip side. All right. Bye, guys.
See you.